And very good evening, everybody. The program is off the hook overtime. Manuel here, Kyle over there.
Yo, yo.
We have Rob and Gila out there in Skype land.
We are indeed here.
We have Alex also in Skype land, different part of it.
As Kyle would say, yo.
All right. Cool. Great conversation. We've been tearing our hair out, going crazy for the conference next week. Next week. Oh, my God. That's why we're not on until, I guess, the 27th, right? Today's what? What is today? Today's the 3rd?
Today's the 3rd.
Yeah, so 24th is when we're on next, I believe.
Correct.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, a lot going on. All the info is at hope.net. And, of course, you can still get tickets, I think, up until Monday. People can do that. And it's really turning into something bigger than we expected and super exciting. And we just got the printed programs today. Look at that. Kyle's got one. Yeah, we still have printed programs. That's how old school we are.
It is a lovely thing. I'm sorry the listeners can't see it.
Well, they can see it if they come to the conference, mm-hmm. which is taking place Friday, July 12th through Sunday, July 14th. St. John's University in Queens, which is the most awesome of all the boroughs of New York City.
And, we certainly think so.
Well, you live there, yeah. Tell us a little bit about Queens for the people who might be uninitiated.
Queens is, so for those of our listeners who may not know, each of the five boroughs of Queens is its own county. Queens County is the most diverse county in the country. If you want it, we have it here in Queens. There is representation of literally every ethnic group you could possibly think of. And when there's representation, there are restaurants. You could take a global gastronomic tour never leaving the county line. There is so much to see, so much to do. We have trains that go underground. We have trains that go above ground. We have long-distance commuter trains. There, you can get around here very easily. It's a very exciting, vibrant, fun place to live. I have lived in Queens my entire time in New York. That's 15 years now. And there's still so much more to explore. And I absolutely love it here. Queens is everything. And I'm really excited for people to get to experience that.
I got my start in Queens. I grew up in Jamaica as a small child. And, it was, you know, it was all I knew back then, obviously. But it was bustling and thriving. And I couldn't really imagine any other type of life, you know, than living in Queens. And it still fascinates me to this day. There's still so many parts of it that are unexplored. But even around where we're having the conference, there is so much that you could explore that for quite some time and never quite see it all. And, of course, you have the biggest Chinatown in America only a few minutes away in Flushing, Main Street Flushing. Just so many amazing places to hang out there. Alex, go ahead.
Oh, I already made my comment in the chat, but... Yeah, as Gila was mentioning, if you want anything you want, you can find in Queens, you know, if you're interested in it. But the flip side of that, of course, is that even if you don't want to see it, you can also find that in Queens, too, all the things that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But take the country with the smooth there.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess that's one way of putting
profound.
It.
Profound.
Mm-hmm. That's happening. That's why we're going nuts and won't have much time for radio over the next couple of weeks. Let's see. We have some more listener mail. Should we read more listener mail?
I'll secure the phone.
Okay, well, we haven't mentioned the phone yet because as soon as you mention the phone, it's going to ring, even though we don't give out the phone number. How about...
Oh, you know what I noticed?
Yeah.
Sorry. I was perusing the new issue of 2600 that arrived in our house within the last couple of days.
Yeah, that happened too. Boy, it's just been nonstop activity.
And you know what I discovered in the announcement section of the new issue of 2600 magazine?
I first of all didn't know we had an announcement section. Where is the announcement?
I'm sorry, announcements, ads, what's the...
The house ad in the back?
Yes, the marketplace section.
Oh, the marketplace. Okay, yes.
The marketplace. Hey, I forgot the nomenclature.
There is I'm wrong. There is an announcement section within the marketplace, so that's why
I got confused. I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
But do you know what's in there in the announcement about Off the Hook?
Not
in
a
clue. The announcement section of the marketplace? The phone number.
But you went from being correct to being wrong, because I don't think Off the Hook is in the announcement part of the marketplace. I think it's under... No, I think you're right, actually. I'm confused with happenings. I confused happenings with announcement. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm even more wrong now. I don't know what's in this magazine. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. So we don't give out the phone, but it's not the phone number could change. And plus, you know, we want people who listen to be the ones calling us, not people who just are, you know, stumbling through a bookstore, find a magazine, say, hey, look, there's a phone number. I'm going to call it during this time, and I'm going to fool them by not even listening. You know, we don't want that to happen.
Because, of course, everyone who calls in has paid very significant attention to everything we talked about during the radio hour, which is why they always key it.
We expect no less. Yeah,
we absolutely
expect that. So do your homework. Yes, go ahead, Alex.
Speaking of phone numbers, I want to bring something up, and we can decide whether or not we want to do this. Perhaps we can take a poll from the chat on YouTube. But I thought it would be funny. Today, earlier in the day, I got an invoice from what appeared to be Norton for $499.
That's so old. I've been seeing that for months. Norton invoices and the McAfee virus protection and all that. Look, you pay it once, and that's enough. They leave you alone after that.
Right. Yeah. But obviously, you know, it's a scam. It's probably some kind of remote access scam. But there's a phone number that's associated with it. You're supposed to call it, and then that's when they initiate the scam. Might be fun to just give them a ring this evening to see how they're doing.
That's all you if you want to do that. it's not going to go on our records here, that's for sure. Once they have your phone number, they never let you alone if they have your phone number.
I'll call them. That's fine with me. Totally fine. Yeah.
Okay, but you know, it can't be a rebel thing where, you know, we're on hold for like 5 minutes of silence or just, you know, going in some kind of a loop or something like that.
Oh, certainly not. No. I mean, if it becomes rebel like, that's when we hang up. Nobody can suffer through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if things slow down, which I'm sure they will, we can do this. Let me read one of the letters that we got. We don't have time to read all the letters on the air, unfortunately. Wish we had more time to do that. Hey, Emmanuel, just dropping an email to say hi. I'm the guy who met with you some 12 years ago in Ljubljana. You remember? In Slovenia?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about what happened in Euro. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. Slovenia deserved better. Okay, sorry about that. Met us 12 years ago. Kyle and myself drove you to Zagreb train station. Zagreb, by the way, is in a different country. It's in Croatia, so that's the level of commitment this guy had. We were touring the countries of the ex-Yugoslavia. Was that back in 2010, I think? Wow, that was 14 years ago. I'm still a regular off-the-hook and off-the-wall listener. I've since moved from Slovenia to Malta. That's a place I've never been. Learned about Flipper Zero from your show, ordered it online, and never received it due to a restriction in lithium battery shipping. Had to order it to Slovenia so it would arrive by land and then bring it over to Malta in my carry-on luggage.
Undeterred.
I work now full-time as a security specialist in an industry called iGaming, online gambling. In industry which is currently picking up in the States with rapid speed. It's been around 12 years since you toured this part of the world. Yeah, actually, 14 years. I think 14 years is what we estimate. Planned on visiting New York just before COVID ruined it off for all of us. Hope to bump into you and Kyle again one day. Best regards, Mr. G. Mr. G, thank you so much for writing to us. And yes, we remember it well, and you made Slovenia very enjoyable. I remember that car ride to Zagreb, and that whole voyage was really fascinating and exciting and just very inspirational. All the different countries of former Yugoslavia and Albania.
Yeah, I love that we got an update from someone that was on that trip. I've been going through a lot of the film. I took several analog cameras as well as digital phone cameras weren't quite what they are now at the time.
No.
But I had all of this 35 and 120 millimeter, and so it was really fun to do that. But a lot of it ended up being kind of a time capsule. So I've been going back and digitizing it and organizing it so that I can go back and find them, for one thing, if I want to reprint or rescan. So
that's really, I thought
it conjured a lot of memories.
I thought you stored it all in MySpace and it disappeared. That's not, no, that's somebody else that did that. No, we don't do that, do we? We keep things local, right? That's how you do it. You save things. What's your system? How do you generally do things like that?
Oh, my system's terrible. It's always being rebuilt and redone.
Your terrible system is so much better than the way we do it by default.
Yeah. I've re-examined it. I get so far sometimes and reassess it and go back and try to perfect it. I've managed to hold on to things, I think, mostly by making too many copies, but since stuff gets larger as far as space, if you're maintaining your own storage, you can kind of just keep pulling it into larger and larger backups and move it around that way. And I've also, back when, I guess, disks were plentiful, that was an alternative. But
wait,
file sizes
aren't plentiful anymore?
Optical, I mean. Publishing those made sense when files were much smaller, but mm-hmm. again, the digital cameras are much larger now, like you're talking about, exfiltrating them from phones into different formats. Generally, it's a solid state or some kind of spinning disk drive. And yeah, you just have to keep them, at least if you're in disarray and still kind of on that organizational journey, as long as you have a decent mental picture of it and you try to stick with it, I think that's the best solution. And always, I think, get what is attainable done first. And in a sense, like if you have physical media, I like to treat going through it as sort of an indexing process, because you have to understand you're making it portable by taking it out of the physical form and mm-hmm. putting it into a machine format, and perhaps you may not be you may not have the time to use the biggest, baddest machine or resolution. So I like to just give myself a break and get through it sort of in something that is good enough to use if you want to use it in digital art or in some kind of print format, but also think of the advantage of being able to, say, share it quickly on a tablet or on a phone, or send it to some kind of on-demand publishing. You can do a lot with it as soon as it's out of that analog state. And I've been inspired by a lot of the archiving we talk about and that other people do, and just, I don't know, extending the ability of having so much in celluloid, in film. You know, a lot of people don't have memories, or they don't have stories that are captured in that way. They are just in some cloud drive somewhere.
Yeah, I'm worried about people not having the same access to memories as we're used to growing up. You know, we had the photo album, and you'd pour through it with your grandparents or relatives of other sorts every now and then. It was just, you know, a nice memory. Not only what's in the pictures, but just going through the pictures. And now, you know, it's all on phones and subject to deletion or becoming part of some system that goes away. And we don't have that physical, tangible thing that means so much to us. I mean, it's the look, it's the feel, you know, it's the smell sometimes, the mustiness of you know, a book. Those are, you know, that's what precious memories come from. And I don't think we should be so quick to just cast those aside in favor of something that seems to be more convenient, but in many, many ways doesn't do the job nearly as well. I mean, good luck finding what was on your first iPhone as opposed to, you know, something that your grandfather passed down to you that's, you know, a physical book or something like that. It's just something, you know, we can benefit from new technology and the latest and best and all that. But if we discard what came before it, we run a tremendous risk of just losing so much that can't be recovered. And we see examples of that all the time. Gila, please.
We have a listener who said, been going through crates and crates of good old physical media today, trying to organize it a bit. It was fun. Found the entire story of my life in books and comics from days forgotten.
Wow.
See, that's great. Yeah. I think of it as like an ongoing thing, as not as, I guess that's an artistic way to look at it, that it's never done. It's incomplete. I think you have to do the best you can if you're a working artist or you're doing commercial stuff. You're sort of really busy getting through an entire workflow, and you can maybe not have as much time for your own personal stuff, and family stuff then also falls by the wayside. But getting comfortable with that process, you can approach it at any stage and just revisit it. And if you do that sort of habitually, or even as a way to sort of think about your day or like process other stuff, or maybe as a way of connecting with your family, I think that can be really fun. Sadly, oftentimes you go through a lot of this stuff when it's a really heavy time, when you're trying to put together memorials, when you're trying to go through, and that can be profoundly meaningful in the moment for families and stuff, but you've got to realize you can do that anytime with people while they're around. And actually maybe do another thing, like augment it with audio recordings or video recordings of people sharing a story about a photo that conjures a memory. That was the whole idea of capturing this stuff, is preserving and being able to retell and recall that stuff. So doing it with other people can be like a weekend thing you do, where it's like a part of your routine, and in the process you're creating these lovely like sort of albums and at least more or less chaotic bins of things that you maybe made labels or at least got the dust off of, and you know where it is, like up high away from moisture and hazards.
One of the best things I think you can do, and it's relatively easy to do, is create a new photo album for your friends or relatives, and send it to them. You know, you can take an existing photo album, and simply scan it at, you know, at high resolution and submit it to one of these companies that makes books. And what you get back in return is basically a duplicate of the album that you scanned. You can change the page order. You can add comments. You can do all kinds of things like that. You can create new albums with, you know, digital pictures or old pictures as well. But it's the real special part is creating the physical book that you send to somebody. Just sending them a download link. You know, I've done both. And the one that resonates is the one where they have it in their hands. We send somebody a link. If they even go to it in the first place, it's something that gets lost with all the data, all the junk that piles up on our computers, on our phones. But having that book there on the bookshelf in front of them, it's something that they will open every now and then. And you can share that experience. And that's something that has not gone away. I find it surprising. It took me this long to find a way of doing that, because I believe in saving these things, but I wasn't so much sharing them. And being able to do that is just, it really feels amazing when you're able to pull that off.
Yeah, that magic of reproducing, taking it out of, in a sense, out of the vault, sort of out of a format that is hard to share, and then making it sort of infinitely accessible and portable with different ways of distributing it, like a printed book or presentation, a video, a collage. Now probably there's a myriad of other tools, generative tools, that can process all of this into sort of a wild hallucination of your life. That'll be the kind of thing, you know, you can give as a gift for the holidays. So I'm excited for all of it, but definitely, yeah, like, get that awkward photo, like, make a t-shirt out of it, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Or that, like, favorite pet from, like, a screen grab in a family movie.
I used to get the awkward family photo calendar every year.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. People have traditions like that already.
Yeah, but then I saw my family in there, and I didn't like it anymore. I don't know who gave them the picture either. And there was nothing wrong with my hair that day. It was just windy. So I want to move on.
I think thinking about the old ways, also, you have to think about the new ways. Like, what with these phones that are capturing it when they're full, like, what is the state? Do we panicking is, we've, I think, gone through that. It is disconcerting, but we have to kind of have a mode we go into where it's like, oh, this is the time to develop the role instead of developing some sort of physical media. You're actually just sort of adding it to the haystack of your of what you've captured across devices.
Go ahead, Gail.
So two things. The first is we were talking about this, and I was thinking about my brother. My brother has a son who is going to be 6 in October. And obviously, as a parent now, there are so many pictures. And some get shared with the wider family, and some don't. And what he has begun doing is, for Mother's Day each year, he makes my mom a calendar with good pictures from the year. So it's also this really fun way to get to see him, you know, growing up, and he puts, like, pictures of us on days for our birthdays. It's very cute. I like it a lot. But the other thing I was going to say is that the listener who was commenting about looking at old media today did follow through with two more notes. He said there's something magical about finding a book in a shelf, and that it has the markings from a grandparent or even further. Once found an old Norbert Wiener thing with my grandfather's liner notes. Low bandwidth intergenerational information transmission, which may be my new favorite phrase. That's what really irks me with Kindle. I wish I could transfer my underlinings from Kindle books to the next generation. Someone else, Tim in Connecticut, says one thing that my brother-in-law has done is, what is that? That is a big hit every Christmas, is a printed calendar with family pictures that on opposite sides of days. He changes each year. Is that static thing happening for everybody, or is that a local thing here?
I'm sorry, we're just setting up a few fireworks. Continue, don't worry. Don't worry about us.
No, that was, I'm done talking, but okay. That was fireworks, huh?
Yeah. We're showing our patriotism in the only way we know how.
I thought it was my serotonin receptors.
I thought something was wrong with our headphones.
Oh, there probably is. The thing that gets me...
Appreciate that.
The fireworks... They really haven't advanced that much. I mean, shouldn't we be getting better things in the sky than just the same old, you know, lights and, okay, you know, that's red, that's white, that's a streak in the sky, and they sound the same. You know what? I'm closing the window. I don't know. Shouldn't that have evolved? Is that something that we're neglecting technology-wise?
Potentially, but we did last night, we watched a video of my favorite fireworks show ever, which was San Diego, 4th of July in 2012, and the timers got messed up, so it was about to be a 30-minute long fireworks show, and it all went off in 15 seconds, and it is the funniest thing you will ever see, because it's just like, wow. Smoke, and just, and then it's done.
And it's a lot of pissed off people.
Oh, yeah.
And a few injuries.
It's pretty crazy.
All right, I'll look at that later. When you said fireworks show, I in my mind I pictured a reality show having to do with fireworks, which, now that I say it out loud, is a really good idea. Here's what you do. You have a family whose business and tradition has been putting on the best fireworks show in the area, and you have like an 8-episode series where they're building up to the big display with all kinds of family conflict and intrigue and things like that. And suppliers, will they deliver it on time? What about, you know, do we want Chinese fireworks? Do we want all American? Things like that. And then you show the fireworks as part of the conclusion of the last episode. Everybody in the country is watching it, and we all make a ton of money.
I think they've already done that.
What do you mean they've already done that? I just came up with the idea now. God damn it. All right, let's give out our phone number.
It sounds like some B, like, learning channel reality show.
Exactly. Like, just, yeah, that's who I'd pitch it to. Do you remember the Learning Channel actually was about learning.
Yeah, you used to learn stuff.
Every channel that's out there now has turned into the same channel. They're all stupid. They all show Law and Order repeats. You know, arts and entertainment is not about arts and entertainment. Bravo is no longer fine arts at all. Science fiction, they don't even show science fiction. It's all the same damn thing. Even BBC America doesn't show British programs.
You know,
that's why they changed all the names.
Well, they should just be Channel A, B, C, and D. You know, they don't.
Basically, like TLC doesn't stand for the Learning Channel anymore. It just stands for TLC.
What does that even mean? Who gets to say that? I know what it stands for. MSNBC. MSNBC, Microsoft, and NBC pooled resources. I know Microsoft's not involved anymore, but that's still what it stands for. CNBC, they got away with something because at the time, they're affiliated with NBC, you know, obviously, but they were called the Cable News and Business Channel, I believe. And that's spelled CNBC. So that was kind of clever, but that's as far as I'm willing to allow rewriting history and initials and things like that. The other thing that really gets me, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but if you go through the schedule, almost every channel is binging on a particular program, like South Park or Young Sheldon or Law and Order or CSI. 12 hours of the same damn program. How is that a network? How is that a TV channel? There's no creativity. There's no imagination. It's somebody hitting play on a computer somewhere, and it's just going all day long with nobody watching over it.
They're trying to sell ads. They're so... This is like...
Don't get me started on ads,
they're
man.
Surviving. They need to sell these ads.
Look, when I was a kid, I don't want to keep going to make this my refrain, but when I was a kid and you turn on the TV, there was an announcer. The announcer would say, this is Channel 2. Coming up next is this. It was cool. It was good. There was personality. And the programs changed. They were different. And you know what the best thing about that TV channel was? It signed off at night. Yeah, they turned the damn transmitter off, and they all went home at like 2 in the morning or something.
This is your announcer letting you know that this is your favorite channel. You're tuned to Channel 2600.
Yeah, that's, I guess you could make a parallel there. Sure, why not? But, you know, Channel 11, I remember the policeman guy who did the afternoon kid shows. And, yeah. Channel 9 was the monster chiller horror theater or whatever they called that. And they all were different. They all had their own. Channel 5 was not Fox. It was Metro Media, and they had their own unique take on things. They're the ones that coined the phrase, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? Channel 2 was the one that stayed on almost 24 hours. They signed off at about 5:30 at night and then signed on at 6 in the morning. And in between, they had a black and white test pattern, which was kind of cool. Go ahead, Gila.
All I was going to say is that when I was a kid living in Nebraska, we, you know, Channel 9 WWOR ran nationally, and I was obsessed with what was on Channel 9, and I had a stuffed animal that was named Channel 9 the dog.
Did they call it Channel 9 when it was a superstation?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because
this is Channel 9 WOR.
WGN,
but we didn't have a Channel 9.
WGN in Chicago was also a superstation, but they called it WGN America, as opposed to their Channel 9 WGN TV. You know, it's the Canadian system gets WGN, the TV channel, whereas the United States got WGN Superstation, which was just another channel that was like all the rest, and then they turned it into News Nation, so that's what became of that. Oof. Yeah.
But do you know what WGN stood for?
Oh, that's a good question. I wish I did. I any guesses? No? Nobody knows.
Where are you going now?
That's good. That's good, but I don't know if that's true.
What's good, nerds?
I know KTLA stands for Television Los Angeles, I'm pretty sure. But go ahead. What?
It started out, it was a subsidiary of the Chicago Tribune Company. WGN stood for World's Greatest Newspaper.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
And they're still owned by Tribune Broadcasting, I believe. They're owned by the same people, WPIX, KTLA, other stations, too. I'm not sure what the other ones are. Yeah, we know a lot about this, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, something similar is WTMJ in Milwaukee, which is named after the Milwaukee Journal, which then became the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's the Journal Milwaukee, WTMJ.
And not named after the jaw.
Not named after the painful jaw condition. The question I had, though, going back for a second, Romper Room.
Romper Room.
Oh, Romper Room.
Hell yeah, Romper Room. Definitely. With, I believe the guy's name was Sandy Becker. Maybe somebody can look that up and see if Sandy Becker actually existed. But I just remember that name from my childhood. Romper
and,
Room.
Do you remember The Magic Mirror?
Not offhand, but I probably would if I started watching it again.
Okay. The Magic Mirror and the person who hosted Romper Room when I was a kid on WGN. I'm sorry, WOR, which was the one that I was watching. Her name was Miss Molly. And at the end, she would look in the mirror and, you know, see all the people. She never saw me. She never got close to seeing me. Now, you over here saw you all the time.
Yes. To fully explain this for people who aren't familiar, she would look in the magic mirror and say hello to all the little boys and girls she saw. So she'd, I see Emmanuel, and I see Kyle, and I see Alex.
Oh, I remember that. You know, I remember that. Yeah, that was the end of Romper Room, though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I do remember that. Absolutely.
That's weird. Tell me today, did all of my friends have fun at play? She never saw me. I would get up close to the TV. She never saw Gila.
Well, you got to play the game. Did you send her a postcard?
I don't remember.
All right. Well, your parents should have done that, because that's how you... Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, like with the Starbucks name, even if I'd sent her a postcard, it wouldn't have made a difference, because she would have looked at it and said, I have no idea how to say this. Do you know what my Starbucks name is before I started using the app? It's Venti Iced Latte.
That's a nice name.
Because they don't know how to say Gila.
Well, you know, if you went to Ellis Island and gave them that name, I'm sure you'd wind up with Gila, because they wouldn't want you to go around with a name like that. But when you said The Magic Mirror, I thought you meant The Magic Garden. Now, you guys watched The Magic Garden, right? That's
Carol and Paula, yes.
Yeah, that's classic. That's something, again, WPIX, Channel 11 here in New York. And WPIX, by the way, used to be owned by the Daily News. In fact, they were in the same offices on 42nd Street. So that was that's kind of interesting as well.
That's why it was WPIX. Sorry, not to interrupt. But the Daily News was, because the Daily News was the picture paper.
Was it? Okay. It was?
So WPIX.
It was a tabloid, so yeah, that sort of makes sense. All right, trivia question. And Kyle, you're exempt from this because I think you might know the answer. But what, we said Daily News on WPIX. What station, all right, I'll tell you right now, it's a radio station, it's not a TV station. What radio station did the New York Times own? You have 30 seconds. Go ahead, Alex.
WQXR.
That's correct, and I hope you didn't just look that up.
No, I didn't. I just guessed, actually, because it seems like the type of station that they would own.
Wow, you somehow made that seem condescending, and I'm not sure...
I intended to be.
Okay, all right. I just remember growing up, oh, it wasn't that funny, listening to that, because that was a station that was played in my house, WQXR. It used to be AM, 1560 AM, a tremendous loss, and we lost classical music on the AM dial because it really sounded cool. But it used to be WQXR and WQXR FM, the radio stations of the New York Times. I'll never forget the way they announced that. And yes, Kyle, we are taking calls, even though we didn't give out the phone number, but we will get to that at some point. Go ahead, Alex.
I used to listen when I worked at, remember a long time ago when I worked at TCBY, the country's best yogurt.
You may not know this, but you're still on staff there. I dropped in. No, I dropped in the other day, and they have timesheets. Yours is empty. Yours is empty, but apparently they can't delete names. So you might want to pick up a shift or something.
Those were good times. I had this funny thing. So I used to listen to QXR sometimes over there when I could get it. But most of the time I would listen to a different classical station from WSHU 91.1. What was that?
Swine. Sorry.
No.
Well, I work for another radio station, and they keep interfering with us, so I have very, very good feelings about that. From Connecticut, but they have a better signal in New York than the station that is from New York.
I know. It's really ridiculous, but that's exactly it. So I used to be able to get it on this old clock radio at WSHU, and it was all classical, just like WQXR.
Not just like. WQXR had personality. WSHU had a satellite dish. Big difference.
Well, I think WSHU had some personality, and in particular, one show that was every Sunday matinee with David Bouchier was pretty good, and I learned a lot about classical music just listening to that with nothing else to do in the winter at TCBY, but nobody's really coming in for frozen yogurt in the shopping center on Long Island in the dead of winter. So I would listen to this, and somehow I think a lot of this just seeped into my head. I had this weird thing happen to me when I was in law school. I was waiting outside of a professor's office, and he was in with another student. I think I was talking to my – I wanted to talk to my civil procedure professor, and there was a constitutional law professor from a different section across the hall. And he had his door open, and he was listening to classical music, and I recognized it. Mm-hmm. And so I said to him, I said, oh, Professor Teachout, I said, couldn't help but overhear. I said, is that Bach you have on? And he said, well, I don't know what it is. I'm just, you know, I've got kind of random things on here. He said, let me look. And I never really talked to this guy before. He didn't know me at all. I wasn't one of his students. And he said, well, it is Bach, as a matter of fact. And I said, is it one of the Brandenburg concertos? And he said, well, let me see. And he said, it is.
Oh, you're wasting this guy's time. Okay, go ahead.
And then I said, is it the third Brandenburg concerto by Bach? And he said, well, let me see. And
you had to make three trips to check? Why didn't you just bring the damn record out?
I said, well, he was listening to something online. I think it was. It was either streaming it or whatever, but it was through a computer. So he was amazed, and he said, yeah, it is Bach's third Brandenburg concerto. And he said, that's incredible.
Then you said, is it conducted by this particular person?
I should, yeah. Is it by the Academy of St. Martin's in the Fields or something? And so he said, well, that's amazing. He said, you must be a musician. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, you must have studied music in some way. And I said, no, I never did. I never studied music. And he said, well, how did you know that? And I just looked at him. I didn't really have an answer. And I said, I don't know. And then he just paused and he stared at me for a few seconds. And he said, okay, I'm going to close the door now. He just closed the door right in my face.
I've heard this story before. I remember the door being closed in your face. And that door never opened again, did it?
No, I don't think I've ever said anything to him ever again.
Wow.
Yeah, that is
something. But yeah, you're talking about shows. I remember on WKXR, The Listening Room with Robert Sherman was one of the great programs that I would listen to. Metropolitan Opera Saturday afternoons, part of my upbringing was hearing that. So it's good to be able to go down memory lane and realize the importance of radio and all that. What's that?
It explains a lot. You would think that somebody with that type of upbringing would understand what bifurcate meant, though.
Well, that word didn't really come up much in my household, but now I do. Now I know. Now I will use it incessantly. Oh. We have a phone call, Kyle?
Yes.
It came in quite a while ago, but...
It's a real dichotomy.
In our defense, we didn't ask anybody to call. They called on their own. So when you do that, before we ask for calls, you call at your own risk, and being put on hold for 10 minutes is part of that risk. So good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Is anyone there on the phone? Is this some kind of alien creature that speaks in high-pitched tones? Apparently it is. There's nobody there, Kyle. There's nobody there. Get a better call. Maybe I should give out the phone number. 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. Call us and speak to the world. Go ahead, Gila.
I do have a question. This is actually my question. Robert Sherman, you said, hosted The Listening Room. Is it the same one who wrote the music?
I'm not sure. Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
Okay.
What music?
Robert Sherman and his brother were like the go-to songwriters for the Disney Corporation for a long time. They wrote It's a Small World After All. They wrote all the music for Mary Poppins. Also, they won an Oscar for Mary Poppins. And did you know that they also wrote the music for Snoopy Come Home?
I didn't know that. Now I do, and I'm better for that. But I'm taking a trip over to Wikipedia right now to look up Robert Sherman. But first, let's take this phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, it's about time you picked up.
Oh, you got impatient with us? Is that what happened this week? All right.
Alex was talking about the scam calls he got or the bills and stuff. I am on the Do Not Call list. I mean, remember the Do Not Call list?
You're on everyone's Do Not Call list. It's true.
No, I wasn't. Now, the people still call my cell phone, and they, you know, of course, because they're calling from India, they say, well, would you like, well, this is from the car warranty or the auto service, you know, that scam. You know, of course, it's an Indian accent. And, of course, they, you know, the one, this is Medicare. We should give you benefits. Hello, I'm not 65.
Do go on. Yeah, go on. No, we're captivated.
Oh, I'm launching a basketball as I'm talking to you. They do that. And Alice wanted to give out the phone number. Maybe we should do this at Hope. We should do this at Hope, where we call scam, you know, numbers and try and, like, I don't know, social engineer them or something.
Well, that sounds like a ton of fun, especially with you leading the brigade. You got something to say to that, Alex?
I mean, look, I can give out the phone number. I know you're dying to call them, Rebel, but I think we should hold back. We'll do this together as a group later on. In the call, you're just going to have to be patient.
Later on in the show?
Later on.
Well, there's not too much later on left, so it'll be in the next few minutes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
You
know.
We've been spending a lot of time yammering about our childhoods and stuff, but it's, you know, it's therapeutic.
Yeah, I remember a lot of stuff, but never mind not.
Okay, well, they're just going to have to leave us hanging on that one.
Yeah. Okay. What else did I want to say? I want links. I still need IT services. I still need IT services. Maybe somebody at Hope can. I have the 2600 meetings on Friday, so I will take somebody to dinner who puts links on my computer, bringing my laptop.
Somebody who puts links, LYNX, that program on your laptop. You'll take them to dinner at a place of their choosing with no price cap.
Right.
All right. You heard it here.
Okay.
Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Apropos of both Rebel's question last week and one of our colleagues in London, as you know, I was in London last week during our sessions and whatnot. I did go into the local Boots on the King's Road and buy some cheap deodorant, which is also known as Lynx, LYNX, same one. So there you have it.
Are you trying to get a free dinner from Rebel by handing him a deodorant thing from England?
Yeah, well, it was weird. I mean, so there's this cheap deodorant you can buy called Lynx.
No, I know that. Yes,
UK, and for some reason the scent that I got, I just thought it was funny. It's called Africa, like an entire continent. No, underneath your arm. No, it's about. But it does. It smells quite nice.
Well.
Okay. What I'm saying is.
Say it quickly.
Okay. The Lynx is the browser that I want to put on my computer, on my desktop, preferably.
Yes, I think we know that.
I'm going to be bringing my laptop to Hope. I mean, to the 2600 meeting on Friday. It's like somebody at the 2600 meeting a while ago. He explained how Lynx was put on, and he did it on his laptop, but he did it so fast, and he explained it so fast that I couldn't even, and he did it, and it's like, oh, well, you got to go to this website. And this website doesn't recognize this browser. So,
yes,
you know,
no, people talk very fast sometimes, and we apologize for that. Might I ask what operating system your laptop is running to help the person that will help you?
Well, I mean, no, my desktop and laptop, I use Google Chrome, but I still want to use Google Chrome.
All right, Google Chrome is a browser, not an operating system.
No, no, I use Windows 10.
Ah, okay. So you want Lynx for Windows 10 installed on your laptop.
Right.
Will this happen on Friday at the 2600 meeting? You'll have to stay tuned and hear us in 3 weeks to find out.
And, yeah, I know that Lynx is a browser that I also want to use. I mean, I'll still use Google Chrome, but because you can, you know, you go on YouTube videos and listen to talk on YouTube. You can't do that with Lynx. But Lynx to, search text-based things, like look at your cell phone bill or, you know, mm-hmm. look at your online banking system.
Exactly,
like that.
Yes.
Not to look at pictures and videos.
No, not to do that. It's for text-based.
But I want to make my computer just like an old-school, like text-based, like just like like a VT300 jet terminal.
It's not an unreasonable request, I don't think. Right?
It's just... Yeah, there's not enough terminals.
Go ahead, Alex.
I mean, why don't you just install Linux on your machine and work out of a terminal?
Here we go.
Because I don't want to. I want to keep Windows. I don't want to use Linux. Because then I won't be able to watch videos and do all this. I want to.
You can have both, you know. You can have Windows and Linux. Called dual booting.
Dual booting, or you can run.
Then it's gonna. It's, you know, it's hard for me to get used to a whole new operating system and new world. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, sometimes just taking the dive is all you need.
Right. But, I mean, why can't... I mean, I don't need Linux. I could just use the browser Linux. I mean, that's all I really want.
You do need Linux. You just don't know you need Linux yet. I've heard this said so many times. But come to Hope, and we will convince you.
Well, of course we'll be at Hope.
And you'll be happy about it, too. You will be.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if anybody wants to know about Queens, which you're talking about Queens.
Yeah, you came from Queens, too, didn't you?
Yeah, you grew up in Jamaica. I grew up in Jackson Heights.
Close call, but yes, fairly nearby.
Yeah. Yeah, I work at the information booth at Hope, where I can tell people, like, you know, how to get to certain places and where the places are at that you could buy the alternative clothing and where the, you know, where the you know,
so
thing, I don't know.
People coming to Hope have the chance of being directed by Rebel to go certain places, and that's an opportunity. It does not come along every day. All right. Rebel, thank you so much for calling. I look forward to seeing you at Hope, and all the best.
Well, you're going to be on next week, though.
No,
right?
We're not going to be on next week. We said many times that we are not on for 3 weeks. We are going to be on again on July the 24th. We need time to put all this together. And I know that... What the hell is that?
Sorry, I was laughing at something. I apologize.
Ah, okay. I thought something blew up.
It's more fireworks.
Yeah. The Wednesday before Hope is always... there have been a couple of years where I've forgotten that I'm on the air. And I've just been running around so much, and it's like, oh my God, it's 9:30, and I totally forgot to be on the air. And other times it's just a big inconvenience. And also, you know, afterwards we're still recovering. Sometimes, you know, sleeping for several days straight. So it's best for us to just, you know, we said all we can say, and now we have to do this thing, and we'll be back on the 24th.
Yeah, right. And you'll be at the meeting though this week.
I wasn't planning on it.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay, but
I'll be there.
Yes, Rob will be there, so he'll be able to be a helpful face.
I'll be there,
and Gila will be there. So there, yeah.
Okay.
And maybe Alex will be there too. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm maybe.
Maybe, who knows? Listen, we got to go. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
We'll talk to you next time. By the way, I did visit Wikipedia. I did look up Robert Sherman. He basically was a music critic and a radio broadcaster. Died last year. Died a year ago. And he had retired from WQXR 1 month before he died. So that tells you something about how important radio is to people. He was 90 years old. And, yeah, he's just one of the many voices that I remember from back then. So that was something special.
So not the same Robert Sherman.
Not the same one, unless they really hid that part of what he did. But Robert Sherman sounds like a pretty common name, so I imagine there are many Robert Shermans out there. Wouldn't be surprised there was a Robert Sherman listening to us right now.
The songwriting one died in 2012.
Okay, all right. So, the music critic broadcaster got a few more years. We have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off Hook Overtime.
Hi, it's Bobcat. Can you hear me fine?
We hear you just fine, yes.
Because you sound terrible. Let me fix a few things you said previously. Romper Room was not Sonny Fox. That was Wonderama. Later, Bob McAllister was on Wonderama.
Wonderama, that was the one I was trying to remember.
Right, Romper Room had the girl who had, or the woman, excuse me, who got pregnant and was given thalidomide. And she sued to get an abortion, and she couldn't get an abortion. And she finally found out she can get an abortion in Colorado.
Wait, this is on Romper Room?
Colorado.
All this happened on Romper Room?
I missed that episode.
Yeah, what the hell?
Hey, there's more. I got more. Let's get through it. And so finally, Colorado said, no, you can't come here and get an abortion. She had to, like, go to Sweden. So eventually she did get an abortion. The best way to sign off a TV station is with a high flight video, and perhaps Kyle can cue that up so you can use it as an outro. TLC, back when it was the Learning Channel, had a hacker documentary with Waz, Kevin, and Captain Crunch. And kind of interesting documentary. But on their website, they had a question: is it possible to be an ethical hacker? And when I saw it, it had 2,000 yes votes and 2,500 no votes. And by the time we got through with it, it was 2.5 million yes votes.
By the time you got through with it, okay. Wow.
We can write a script.
What was the name of the documentary?
Hackers. It was Waz, Kevin, and Crunch. You'll find it. If you want to do some of your own personal backup, keep an eye on Linus Tech Tips and Lewis Rothman. They're both working on open source things for sharing video and doing storage.
Okay.
Here's a couple more. Oh, I could help Rebel with his links thing, but I don't think I want to do that. And as far as January 6th, Trump never said go trash the Capitol. Just so you know, if you can show me the video of that, I'll give you $1 million. Now, immunity you covered earlier. Obama killed three U.S. citizens, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACLU sued. It's Alawaki v. Panetta. You can look it up. The D.C. District Court decided that no one had standing. It wasn't a bill of attainder for all these reasons. So you don't really need immunity to kill American citizens. And if you'll recall, Ron Paul did a filibuster in the Senate just asking the White House, do you have the right to kill Americans with a drone on American soil? And they didn't answer for the whole day. They let him sit there holding his urine. Well, I mean, that's an easy question. No, I don't have a right to kill American citizens. But Obama had the kill list of people to kill. And there were American citizens on that.
There are American citizens overseas. What I think people are talking about now is American citizens right here at home. And
If you go overseas, can I kill you? No. If you committed a crime in the United States and I kill you without a trial, that's a lynching. If you go overseas and you are a political opponent of the United States, which Alawaki was, can you kill him? He's a political opponent. Now, he's a terrorist. He didn't commit any acts of terror. He was just a part of the organization. But they killed him. They killed his 16-year-old son.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna struggle to find instances where, you know, the United States has abused its power and done horrible things. But having the Supreme Court basically back you up for that, that's kind of unique. That's different.
The same thing happened already. Three American citizens were killed by Obama.
No, I'm not disputing
nothing,
that. Was he prosecuted?
Do you want him to be prosecuted? Should he be prosecuted?
If he did something illegal, absolutely. Sure.
Killing American citizens without a trial, is that not illegal?
Listen, this is not something that's new. This is not something that's confined to one president. We're talking about, you know, specifically we were talking about assassinating political rivals, i.e. the person running against you. And at least one member of the Supreme Court says that a president would be immune if he did that. And that is what concerns me, that a Supreme Court justice believes that it's okay in the eyes of what they put out to do this without any repercussions.
One Supreme Court justice believes that. Okay, and I have a question for Alex, because now remember, I did not vote for Trump twice, but I'm going to save Joe Biden because it's probably too late to pull him off the ballot on enough states that he would not be able to get a majority in the Electoral College. The 22nd Amendment says no person shall be elected more than twice to the presidency. Joe Biden could choose Barack Obama as his vice presidential candidate, running mate. He can select him immediately as special advisor to the president so that the senility thing won't seem to be a problem. Joe Biden then gets elected, gets up to gets inaugurated, immediately resigns, hands the baton to Obama, who then gives his inaugural speech on the same podium. Alex, is that possible?
That's such an interesting scenario. I guess it is possible. It could result in a challenge as to what the meaning of the word elected is.
Because he actually wasn't elected. That's, well, you know, I guarantee you.
That, but he was elected.
He was elected twice, yes. But he's being, he's a vice president now. Doesn't that count as being elected? When, no, it doesn't, because you can be a vice president and be elected president.
Read the amendment.
Yeah, no,
a dozen times.
You might actually have something, but I guarantee you that would not fly amongst the populace. And I'm a I'm an Obama supporter for the most part, but I would not like that at all.
We're already trying to get Biden not on the ticket this fall. Everybody is. They're all working behind the scenes. All the primary voters have voted for him to be the candidate, and we're gonna overrule democracy with this.
No, I think that's stupid.
Really,
I think
a little play.
I think that's stupid. I think it's people are panicking. Democrats panic all the time. They always are unsure of themselves, and this is another example of that, where they think, oh, you know, because the guy stumbled and was tired and didn't express himself clearly,
no,
even though he's
senile.
Done that. He's not. Senile people cannot do the things that he does. All right. He's traveled around the world. He's met with all kinds of people. He has given speeches. And, you know,
you sound like Joe Biden. He's senile.
I sound like somebody who is recognizing what's in front of me. How is somebody who's senile able to read something practically flawlessly, you know, and with passion? That's not a senile person. He's old. I'll give you that.
He keeps reading the comments in between the stuff. He's like, pause for applause. He'll stop and read that.
If that happened, maybe it happened once, and maybe he was joking. Who knows?
He wasn't joking. It happens all the time.
Okay, what?
Watch him. Watch him.
I do watch him. I've seen it, and I'm impressed by what I see sometimes, and dismayed by what I see other times, which is a pretty good track record for the most part. Whereas, you know, with the other guy, I see what he says. He says it clearly, and it makes me sick. So even if Biden is barely stringing a sentence together and is completely incomprehensible, he still wins as far as I'm concerned.
If Jill Biden brought out an urn of Joe's ashes, you would vote for that.
I would. I would.
I would
vote for
clear about it.
I would vote for roadkill over Trump. I mean, anything.
Uh-huh.
Seriously. But here's the thing that people seem to be forgetting. There is a perfectly capable vice president in this campaign, and everybody hates her. And that including Democrats, and I don't get that. I think that's a real problem with us, not with them. You know, she
okay, so
states
you want
her
Biden to be elected and die so that Kamala Harris.
I didn't say that. I just said that if people are worried about the ticket, they have a strong look. They're saying let's get new blood in there. Well, you got new blood in there. You got somebody who's younger. You got somebody who's vibrant and who's able to express themselves clearly. You just don't like her for some reason, and I think that's the problem.
Well, so she's going to have to invoke the 25th Amendment.
No.
And remove.
I don't think she has to do that.
No, she will, unless Biden dies.
But why would she do that in the first place?
You just watch Biden, for God's sake.
I do watch Biden quite a bit. You know, I just don't buy into the narrative.
Okay. Let's ignore what Trump said during the debate. Biden said no American soldiers had died on his watch.
Look, he got some things wrong, but Trump lied so many times.
You don't get that wrong.
Trump lied so many times. He got so many things wrong.
He meant in new conflicts, I think.
And there is just no comparison. Let's let Rob say something. Go ahead, Rob.
Bobcat, I want to directly address something that you had said. Something very important, and that is that the documentary from TLC you were talking about was called Hackers, Computer Outlaws, which featured Kevin Mitnick, John Draper, and Steve Wozniak, and it was made in 2001, and you can still find it out there to watch.
Awesome. You can go to the Wayback Machine and find the poll and see how we manipulated it.
That would be awesome.
All right, listen, we're going to move on to another phone call. Thanks for all the points and making us think and all that.
All right, and your show is High Flight, really. It's amazing.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but I'll ask Kyle, and I'll defer to him, and maybe we'll do something like that. Alex, I think if you're going to have a moment, this is it. So tell us what you want to do and how you're going to do it.
Okay, should we give these guys a ring? We can try. Let's see.
You got to explain what you're doing.
Okay, so I got a what was obviously a nonsense, bogus email that's usually the precursor to something called a remote access scam, where an attacker will have you call a phone number thinking that you overpaid for an invoice or something was charged to you that was a high-value item that you shouldn't have been charged for. So you call up to try to get that charge removed. They then say, oh, something like, we'll have to actually, well, the software is on your system, so if we're going to refund you, we're going to have to disable it. And then they trick you into allowing them remote access to your machine, something like that. So it might be fun to just call these guys up, see how they operate, and maybe string them along a little bit. So let's give it a shot, right?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hang on a second. I just have to. Should I try calling them with star 67 first? What do you think?
Well, what kind of number are you calling? What's the area code?
828. Not a toll free number.
No, 828's not. But not every number uses caller ID. They might be using ANI, in which case it doesn't matter if you dial star 67.
Right.
So they might get your phone number. That's the important thing to convey here.
Okay. Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, if there's a chance to block it, might as well try it.
Yeah, try it.
So,
it can't hurt.
Let's call them up. Okay, so...
This is why I didn't want to do it, because
well,
of things like this.
Let's try it.
That's
without,
not a fast busy. What's fast about that? That's a slow busy.
But it was a slow busy.
It's a busy signal. For people who don't know, busy signals were for when you called somebody and they were speaking to somebody else, so you couldn't talk to them. That's
now,
what it was.
Let's try it with without caller ID blocked.
Oh, interesting theory here. Let's see what happens.
Still the same.
They still don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Here's a theory I'd like to posit. What if the number is always busy and you can never call them, and that's not part of the scam?
How would that work?
Well, what if you went to a link instead or replied to their email or something like that? I mean, are you going to always call a number? Or most people these days, they send texts. If you were to text this person or these people, then I think you would get some kind of response and withdrawal from your bank account.
To cancel the subscription, call. I'll give out the number.
But then you'll never get through because everyone's going to be trying.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, might as well, right?
Try a couple more times and then give out the number. I just don't want you to get locked out because of our own listeners.
Well, let's keep going. Yeah, let's see. Still busy there.
Uh-huh.
Still busy.
Yeah. Quite busy. It could be a fake busy, but, you know, it probably isn't.
No. Yeah. I mean, what would the point be? So, it's an 828 number, which apparently relates to North Carolina, one of those new...
It doesn't have to be in North Carolina, as we all know. Area codes mean nothing anymore.
That's right. Yeah. So are we going to take a call in the meantime?
No. This is all you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I said I'd give you a moment to shine, and now you must shine.
Apparently, I'm just very busy. Yep. I can keep trying. But I would imagine this would... I imagine the number probably just burned at this point, right? It came in earlier in the day. Somebody probably reported it, and whoever was providing the service to it probably terminated it, and they're off to sending a new batch of emails with a new number.
So you want to wait for one of those emails to come in?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Because you're a right target. They always are sending you these emails.
All right. Yeah, I'm really going to fall.
Can you read us the text of the email, just so people might recognize it if in fact it happens to them?
Those purchase details at the top. Dear user, and in bold underneath it, and it's got the Norton LifeLock yellow circle with the check and the gradient and the pixelation coming out of the middle of this invoice.
Dear user, we appreciate you selecting our offerings. Today is the last day of your individual Norton LifeLock. The subscription will automatically renew based on the plan that you have chosen. Please see the summary of your purchase below. And then underneath that is the customer service number. That's busy. Build 2, customer ID, 843, blah, 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 invoice number. And then there's an order number underneath that. Product description, personal PC, product, Norton LifeLock.
Uh-huh.
Chart, $499.
So you decided to do this. You purchased this. And now you're trying to get out of it.
That's what, okay.
Well, Alex, I mean, we've talked about this before. Your impulsive spending habits simply have to be curbed. And I think that's the lesson here.
So they did get the date right, though. You know, so this email confirms that your subscription has been renewed for another 1 year with Norton LifeLock for $499 on 3 July, 2024. The subscription will auto-renew every year, and every is a capital E, unless you turn it off, all caps, O-F-F, no later than 24 hour of before end of subscription period.
Yep. Okay. Well, then you need to turn it off in all caps.
Well, to cancel the subscription, and the first letter of each of those words is capitalized. Call.
Okay, but here's the thing. I think, you know, my instinct is telling me that the busy signal is part of the scam. Because, okay, now you're outraged. First of all, it doesn't say how it's getting the money from you. It's just getting it from you. But obviously, you don't want this. You have no idea this is a scam. So what do? You call. And you keep calling, and you call and call and call, and it's always busy. Now what do?
So I guess you would email, right?
I guess you have to email. And if you email them, then I think the scam begins.
Well, I mean, I think people wouldn't find the email address so believable. It starts off with Tina Bang, and then it's a number at gmail.com.
Gmail.com. I mean, you know, we know Gmail is completely legitimate. All right? They're the ones that are always accusing everybody else of sending them spam, and they're guilty of nothing. So if somebody sends you an email from Gmail.com, you have to believe it, and you have to act upon it. That's the law, Alex. You should know that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so you better call her or reply to her and do what she says.
That's interesting. So in the email and in the bogus PDF, I guess it is. I don't even think it's a PDF. It's just an embedded image. Yeah, they have consistent order numbers and things, so they paid some attention to detail here. They should have ran the grammar check.
They never do. But the thing is, nobody ever does. I mean, I find grammar problems in press releases and in advertisements, even traffic signs. It's insane. Another reason why we really need to pay attention to things like this if we want to be believed. But in this particular case, you know, I do think enough people will respond and be outraged and desperate, and then they will be more prone to do what they're told to do. I also suggest taking that exact email address, plugging that into Google, see if anything comes back that mentions that email address. It might be different for every person. Or it might be one they're using a lot, in which case there's probably a Reddit conversation going on somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to call them one more time here, but...
You're going to get a busy signal again. You know you are.
Let's see.
How'd you do that? That's a fast busy. How'd you get that?
Let me try that again. That's weird. Okay.
See, it's all these periods of silence. That's what I wanted to avoid.
It's not actually ringing. I was calling 802-321-4225. Let me see if you guys pick up. But, yeah. Nothing. Yeah, we're kind of out of luck here.
Well, give out the phone number now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's 828-471
7490. That's 828-471-7490. That apparently is located somewhere in Taylorsville, North Carolina, but no such luck. I'm sure that these guys have moved on to a new number by now.
Give the number. Can you give the number one more time?
That is 828-471-7490. Are you looking something up about them? I guess it's...
Yeah, no, I see... for some reason, Department of Justice came up. I don't know why. Okay, that's interesting. So let's see...
That is curious.
Do you see the same thing?
No, I haven't Googled the number yet. That's right. Everyone can hear me type, no doubt. Okay.
Well, I think our listeners can have fun
investigating
this and seeing just what this is all about. But it's common. I get emails like this all the time, and I've never once felt compelled to call them or even do anything other than delete them.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty bold how they will try to remote into your system. It's interesting when you know it's going to come, and then you see how they sneak it in. That's what I was hoping we would be able to play around with a little bit tonight.
No, you've already paid for it. They're not going to try and do that. You know what they're going to get from you if you call them or if you reach them in some manner is they will probably say, okay, you know, with the credit card, we'll give you a credit. Just verify it for us.
Mm.
They don't want, you know, any kind of fraud to be taking place. So obviously you want that $4.99 taken off your credit card. Give them the info and they'll take care of it. But you have to prove that it's you, all right, and not some con artist.
Yep, there's a very strict KYC check that they'll put you through there.
Mm-hmm.
They screw you. But a lot of people do fall for this all the time. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. It's very, very common and unfortunate.
Maybe we should have a scam of the week feature where we can do something like this.
That would be a good idea. Okay. Yeah. No.
I think there's enough scams to go around.
Yeah, it is fun to play with it. Well, I guess in a few weeks we can try again. We'll keep collecting these numbers and see how they go. And I guess people can always give us phone numbers, but, you know, would we really trust those guys in that chat?
Well, I think we should receive the emails ourselves. But you know what? We're just inviting more spam to our whatever. You know, there's enough spam for everybody. There's enough con jobs for everybody. Go ahead, Gila.
I did hear recently about a texting scam that's been picking up in the city, and the mayor is concerned that people are falling for it. So if you get a text that says you have a $2.50 parking ticket, that's a scam. And especially if you don't own a car, don't fall for that.
It's a lot to keep track of, but yeah, it seems like good advice from the esteemed mayor.
Many of us say it could never happen to me, Mayor Eric Adams said Tuesday during his press conference at City Hall. You'd be surprised how we are looped into these various requests for our personal information. I can't with this man. I just can't.
Don't hustle.
Yeah.
Go slow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The whole thing is that you'll be caught up in everything, you know, needing to be done quickly. So slow down.
Wait, are we giving advice to the scammers now?
Or, people, take your time. Don't
because
be
we could
hustling.
Do that too. We could tell people how to pull off a better scam. You know, we're creative thinkers. Yes, Alex.
I think this whole thing with the city scam thing is really fascinating. I had some friends working on that too and investigating how it was going down. But I saw something weird the other day. I was walking around 28th Street and like around 5th Avenue, and there was just a sticker on a pole, as there very often are, stickers on poles, and it was a red background with, I believe it was white lettering of numbers on it, and it just simply said, text an interesting photo to this 646 number. That was it. No other ad or anything. It was just text an interesting photo, random number. And I was curious about it, but not curious enough to actually go back and record the number, take a picture of it or something.
Why can't it just be somebody who wants interesting pictures? Why does it have to be something evil?
But it doesn't have to be something evil. I imagine my guess though is that you get put on some kind of advertising list or some nonsense like that, and then you have to opt out of this.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Gila.
We did have a suggestion for a suggestion box. If people want to put in Scam of the Week suggestions, we could have a box at home for people to pop those in. That is a suggestion we have received in the chat. Thank you, Tim, in Connecticut. And we just got read to filth by our friend Lex, who asks, what was the hack of the week that they did for 2 weeks on Off the Hook before they forgot about it again? Which, ouch, dude. Ouch.
Well, I don't remember that, so... Yeah.
We had a theme song and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did, but it did fall off the wagon. They're absolutely right.
There's only so much you can do.
That's true.
Yeah, we're always consistently inconsistent in that way, so...
But I think if there is a cool enough hack out there that somebody sends us at oth@2600.com and lets us know about, then I think we could see our way toward brushing the dust off of that old theme song. And
we're always happy to hear from our listeners. And, ooh, yeah. Someone says, I'll send some info at an email and maybe some more interesting ones. So that would be great. Again, oth@2600.com. Let us hear from you. We do love that. And maybe we can revitalize Hack of the Week when we're back on in 3 weeks or later.
Scam of the Week. We do maybe not both in the same week, but we can go one or the other and vote on which ones people want.
We can also decide, we can have an of the week of the week.
Yeah, this quickly gets out of control, as you can see. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks, everybody, for holding on this long. And we will see you again in 3 weeks. And hopefully we will see you at Hope. All the info is at hope.net. Ticket sales until Monday. We'll have more announcements coming out. If you want to get the announcements, be sure to join our mailing list, the Hope-Announce mailing list. You can do that through the hope.net website. And this is going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. St. John's University, July 12th through 14th. And, yeah, go ahead, Rob. You had something else.
Did I hear correctly from a little bird that if you bought your Hope tickets, you're going to start getting those in your email this weekend?
Yes, by this weekend, I'm told.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, everybody. See you next time. Good night.